You know, I'm just wondering if we couldn't sing one more, truly, coming out of Babylon, and I think we should probably sing that. What song? Is that 71, Shirley? Yeah, page 71 in the chorus book, coming out of Babylon. Why don't we sing that before we begin here? We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. We've taken our harps down from the willow tree, for the Lord our God has set us free. And we shout praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. We're coming out of Babylon. We're coming out of Babylon with a joy in our hearts and a song down in our souls. We've taken our harps down from the willow tree, for the Lord our God has set us free. To shout praise God for victory, and we magnify the Lord. Praise God. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Shirley. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, the title of today's message is called Fear God and Live. Fear God and live. We know that His thunder announces the coming storm. And when the storm approaches, you first hear the evidence of a distant thunder. The coming storm is spiritual, and the thunder is the prophetic word of God. We know that God's Spirit and His word agree as one. And only those who can discern the Spirit of God will be able to receive the former and the latter rain of God's Word, God's Spirit. We know that people today are soaked in the brine of Babylon's wine. We know that people today are backslidden. They've walked away. They've run away from God. And when they mock God, they're mocking at God's fire. They're mocking at God's judgment. And we know that that day, God will laugh at their calamity because they mocked at God. I would like to just go to Revelations 14 and read 6 through 12. If you don't mind, this is sort of a introductory to what I'm hoping to get across today by the help of God. I certainly can't do anything at all without God's help. Neither can any one of us. No one can. And it says, I was going to start with verse 6, but I had to go through this again. And I maybe we better start at verse 3 instead. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000. Well, what does that mean? What does the 144,000 stand for? I think we all know what that is. For all those who have ever come to know the living Jesus Christ, the living God as Lord and Savior, all those who would ever be saved. Okay? And in verse 3 here, it says, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb's whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits of God, unto God rather, and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. These were the people truly without fault. They were forgiven for their sins. They were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame finally, and they endured unto the end. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And were followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of her wrath, of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying, with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of his holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Where they feared God, they feared Jesus. They knew who to fear. Because through that fear comes salvation. By fearing God is the beginning of all wisdom. I want to go to 2 Timothy. Because as I was praying today and yesterday, but today I felt like the Lord wanted me to also begin with this. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe. Here it is. It's Paul charging and giving charge to Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word of God, by be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That means sound doctrine, true doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So in other words, what that's saying is they have given themselves over to a reprobate mind, no longer knowing or hearing or seeing or understanding the truth of God, because they rejected it. So they've given themselves over to fables, to fantasy, to innuendo, to stories, things that are untrue, things that don't line up with the Word of God. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So, friends, this isn't just for me, but this is for all of us. every one of us who name the name of Christ, we receive these promises. But we are to exhort and to reprove. We are to give ear to God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost and His Word agree, they are one. And we know that we must fear God. It's the wise and the prudent who will fear God. Those who do not fear God don't know God. We must depart from evil and fear God. In Psalms 33:8, it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." Do we do that today? Because one day we will. One day the whole world will stand in awe. And Jesus is coming back. He's going to come back to those who have disobeyed the gospel of the truth with fire and wrath. But to those who have obeyed, He'll be coming back as their Lamb, their Savior, their one true God, coming back to rescue them, to take them back into the fold, to help them, to see after them for eternity. But I believe today the church is sick, and the church today is not ready. Today the world is full of compromise, full of sin of every kind, full of fornication and people who do things behind closed doors that should never be done at all. That it is a shame even to mention those things that are done of them in private, or those who do it publicly. And we look at all the homosexuals today. We look at all those who are living a life of sin, all those who are having abortions, all these people will one day be under the wrath of God unless they repent. Therefore, it is incumbent upon every man and woman, child, the whole world over, to repent, because the day of His coming is truly at hand. Let us ask God then today to show us through the Word of God. Where does the Bible say we must fear God? Why don't we go to Psalm 66:16, where it says here, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare that He hath done for my soul." In other words, He has redeemed our souls. The Lord, in His grace, His mercy, and His truth, has made available to us eternal salvation. A way for us in a dark, dreary, and sick land full of sin, compromise, and disease of every kind, full of every adversary that you can think of, full of every confusion, wind of confusion, wind of confusing doctrines, wind of all these different religions and different versions of the Bible. You look at the NIV Bible and people that use the NIV, and every reference in there pertaining to fasting and almost all for prayer is missing from there. I call it, what Pastor called it, the non-inspired version, but there's also another version. It could be called the New Illuminati version. Truly, this world has been soaked in the brine of deception, soaked in the brine of the New World Order, the New World, the One World Religion, ecumenicalism, all these different things coming together to try to form a false religion, a false government, a false people, a false entity. Everything about it is false. Nothing about it is true. In Acts 13:16, "Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." See, Paul understood the fear of God. Paul began preaching what John preached. And in Acts 13:25 and 26, it says, "And as John fulfilled his course, He said, "Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose." So we know that to walk with humility, that humility is a precious fruit of them that fear God. We aren't worthy to loose. We aren't even worthy to receive. But God, through his grace and mercy, is offering that as a gift, that true salvation of life. The blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. And it says here in verse 26, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of his salvation, of this salvation sent." Not all gave ear and believed. Only those lost sheep of Israel were given ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to understand. Some believe that it's not appropriate to scare people. Some believe that if you just speak kind words and you're nice and God is nothing but love and all love and there's no wrath in him, there's not a judgment, or we don't have to worry about going to hell because after all, God wouldn't send his people to hell. No. The Word of God tells us in Jude 23, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Oh, Lord. Well, these people were busy drinking goat's milk their whole life. Busy drinking the wine of Babylon. Infiltrating their lives with filth and sickness, garbage, lies of the devil. That's not God's way. We are to drink the true water of God's word. What is that true water? It's true doctrine, God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost, being led of him. But fools abound. Without true fear, one is left not knowing anything at all, not knowing whether he goes or comes or sees or hears or understands. For we know nothing at all without God. For we know that with the fear of God, we understand and have true wisdom. You see, fear is truth. Fear is godliness. That's God's testament. That's his word. 1 Timothy 6:3-6 says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness." So we don't go looking in the paper for the horoscope. We don't go looking for answers in the stars. No, we don't go looking for soothsayers, for psychics. They're on almost every street corner in some of these bigger cities that you go to. They're all over. Tattoo parlors and gimmickry of every kind. But no, through the true word, according to godliness, to sound doctrine, to life. And in verse 4 it says, "He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy and strife and railings, evil surmisings. These are the people that obey the flesh. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." What are these people? Those are the ones that walk about carnal and prideful. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Fear God and to fear Him is the beginning of all wisdom. It's the beginning of all knowledge, of understanding. You see, the devil knows how to weave seeds of deception. When you weave seeds of deception, you have deception that leads to discontentment. And discontentment becomes prideful and envious and jealous. Discontentment seeks to rule through carnal means, through the lives of people all over the world, getting into their minds, their hearts, and then their words and their actions follow. Why are we, or they, or anyone, left knowing nothing? Because in Proverbs 13:1 it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." These are fools who hate knowledge. They're double-minded. They're full of evil. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 3 through 5, it reads, "This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. And madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead." See, they become as reprobate, mindless, thoughtless, without understanding. In verse 4 it says, "For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope." See, those are the ones who fear God. "For the living dog is better than a dead lion." See, we are considered as foolish to the world. We're the scum of the earth, the offscouring. Ecclesiastes verse 9:5 says, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." Did you see that? They know not anything. Their pursuit is riches and worldliness, and that is their reward. That is their judgment. For all unbelievers will be considered unwise and foolish. In Psalm chapter 14, 1 through 3, it says, and I'm reading from the King James Bible. I write it down in a tablet so that I can move on quicker and easier. But I write it all down from the King James. And in verse 1 it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." Whew. That was verse 2. "Their works are unclean, corrupt, and reprobate, and evil." The world was going to mock at you. They're going to sneer at you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to say, "There is no God. We've proven it by science. We've proven it by other means. There is no God." Atheism, agnosticism, all these forms and peoples and groups and understandings and their languages who claim there is no God will one day find out. In verse 3, "They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." You see, in this world, you have people that are brutish and corrupt. They go about robbing and killing and shaming the counsel of the poor. They go about seeking whom they can devour, doing the devil's work, doing his bidding, obeying their lusts, their carnality of mind, not knowing what they do, full of sin, full of grievance, full of error. These people waiting to be judged. And they don't even know it. Because from eternity to eternity, eternity to eternity to eternity, their souls will be cast in to everlasting torment. I don't know if you can picture that in your mind. That's not a good place. We know that fear means exactly what it says. And Satan deceives the whole world through spiritual blindness, ineptness, and rebellion. He wants people to doubt God's word. He wants people to be so busy to forget who he is, to think and to feel and to know that God is not a judgmental God. After all, you shouldn't judge me and I shouldn't judge you. Well, therefore, God's not a judgmental God either. Well, he's not going to hurt us. He's going to wink at our sin. It's okay to just go about and to continue to do all things as we've ever done them. But that's a big lie. In Hebrews 10:31, it says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." These are people who stepped on the grace of God with impunity. They will die without mercy, often with two and three witnesses, as the Word of God says. They did not fear God. In Revelations 15:4, it says, Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. You know how God is glorified? Through our dependence on him. God is glorified when we depend on him and we trust in him. And he sees us through, not through the manifold works of man. But Satan is a liar, full of deception. There's only false fear that the devil tries to perpetrate upon the minds of those false teachers and preachers and all those who would seek to obey that unsound doctrine. In Proverbs chapter 3:35, it says, "The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools." You see, the wise fear God, but traps and snares are the end result for all those who are false teachers and preachers and evangelists and pastors and all these types of people who go about seeking and to try to deceive people, the masses, believing that it's okay to mix with other denominations and with other Bible versions and with other doctrine. It's okay. It's an ecumenical movement, they say. We're all one. Why can't we just get along? Let's just all get along and love one another. That's an everlasting shame, isn't it? That is contempt before God, and it will lead many astray. In Jeremiah 23:40, it says, "And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten." Well, these are the people that are drunk with the wine of fornication and rebellion in this world. They have lied to themselves. They have lied to others. They've deceived themselves into thinking that what they are doing is the Word of God. They have deceived themselves into thinking that they're hearing from God, that they can go about and persecuting other true believers and bringing them down and trying to destroy their lives. But that's the work of the devil. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Eternity upon eternity, everlasting, never ending. This is the horrible legacy of all those that disobey the gospel. I'm going to go to Isaiah 29:13 next. And we know that we must fear God if we are to live. It is all vainglory to think that sporting 10 PhDs and degrees and will save you, and that's a source of all wisdom, knowledge, and truth. No. Anything done in the flesh is all vainglory. Isaiah 29:13 says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." These are men that have itching ears. False teachers, false preachers, pastors, false brethren. They feign themselves to be a brother and a sister to you, but they live a lie. They give you false words in their own fleshy ways, understanding, knowledge. Their knowledge is truly no knowledge at all. For the wisdom of the worldly men, even phony Christians. If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, 29 through 35, it says, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and then two put 10,000 to flight? Except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. For their rock is not as our rock." Who is our rock? Our rock is Jesus Christ. "Even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is of the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste." In other words, they have been duly warned. They have been forewarned by the grace and forbearance of Almighty God through His wisdom through the ages, has warned men of all creation through all time. One way or another, God has always warned people. The fruit of their wickedness brings only the bitterness of poisonous fruit. If we go to Luke 13, 1 and 5, it says, "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices." Anything, is anyone doing that today? "And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, and that without mercy and regard for who they are." Because at that day, the Lord is going to have no regard for them who had no regard for His word, who had no regard while they yet lived. or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all me that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell ye, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So in other words, nobody is better than anybody else. God is no respecter of persons. Anyone and anyone is subject to God's wrath and judgment. Some have done worse things than others in some mind's eyes, but sin is still sin in God's eyes. In Ezekiel chapter 8:18, it says, therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. See, if you refuse God's mercy, he's going to refuse to have mercy on you. One thing to remember and to think about is, in those days, in the future, your most lamentable and regretful cries and shirks for mercy will go unheard. Those who have refused God and rejected God will be fitted for destruction. They'll be thrown away as contemptible before God, as those who have rejected him completely, who have laughed and scorned and mocked at God's fire. But that was a big mistake. In Isaiah chapter 63, verse 3, it says, I have trodden the loinpress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. So friends, we need to awake, for the day is at hand, it is even at the door. The day of God's wrath and judgment is just around the corner for this world. That's why we must prepare. We must get ready. We must live. We must fear God. To understand and know what to do, we must fear God first. We must repent and get right with God so that he can lead us and take us by the hand. Show us what to do. Because God is a God of great mercy. His mercy is new every morning. If we would reach out to God, he will take us by the hand. He will help us, every one of us. Reach out to God today, because tomorrow might never come for one of us or one of you. In Matthew 10, 27 and 28, it says, what I tell you in the darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. But you see, people deny and ignore God. They believe that God would not send them there, but that doesn't make hell 1 degree less cooler at all. You see, these people lack fear, they lack understanding. They're full of sin and compromise in their lives. If the Lord prompts them to stop doing this or to stop doing that, he might do it for years because of his grace and mercy and truth that is in him, in his word, in his spirit. But one day, there comes a day of reckoning when that door is closed. Like those virgins, when they knocked on that door and they said, Lord, Lord, open up to us too. But we did not have oil in our lamps. We did not keep the oil of the Holy Ghost filled in our hearts, in our life. You see, we must set our hearts to understand and to fear God. Earnestly seek God's truth through fear and trembling. That's our calling. That's what the Lord requires of us today. In Daniel chapter 10, 11 and 12, it says, "And he said unto me, O Daniel, O a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling." In other words, he feared God. He feared God, and that was great wisdom. In verse 12, it says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." You see, that got the Lord's attention. When he began to earnestly seek God, when he began to earnestly seek God through trembling and fear and fasting and chastening himself, the Lord saw that. He saw that as righteousness, as fear. And the Lord will always do that for you and me. Every one of those online, every one of those here, all those all over the world, if we will but first fear God, he will help us. But we know that the heathen, the wicked, those in the world, they do not fear God, do they? Their gods are the gods of entertainment, the gods of money and food and lust. Their gods are fornication of every kind. All these sexual perversions out there, these porno industries, all of these wicked schemes that the devil has used to deceive mankind, to come and to destroy and kill. That's why we must guard our hearts today. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and 29, it says, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children." You see, that's God's mercy. He's wanting all of us. He's asking, "Oh, that they would fear me." He's pleading with them, as he did with the Israelites all the day long in his long suffering and forbearance, but seeing a generation of people who were only rebellious, who were always murmuring and complaining and sinning before a holy and an almighty God. But people chose to rebel. In Jeremiah chapter 5, 21 and 31, it says, "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not." Have you met people like that? How many people are out there today that don't have eyes to see or ears to hear, yet they go to these churches? They're full. These churches are packed out. They've got the rock bands going. They've got all the skits and all the stuff going on, the Passion of the Christ and all this stuff going on in their church sanctuaries and all these different things that they play with and they have fun with. And they'll go out and they'll go to a bar. It's okay to go to Chili's, and it's okay to go to some of these other places, maybe have a snip of beer here and there, you know. It's okay if, you know, God is full of mercy and grace, and And, you know, we're just having a good time. And the Lord is, you know, he's not a judgmental God. He's, you know, we're okay. I'm okay. You're okay. And the whole world is okay. We're all one. Let's just love one another. Let's just help each other. No, that's not God's way. In verse 22, it says, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it." You see, even now, judgment is at the door. Even now, folks. In Jeremiah chapter 5, 23-26, "But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone." You see, rebellion is an open resistance. Rebellion is an avowed rejection of God's grace and mercy. Rebellion is insisting that one have his own way, that they don't have to listen to anyone or anything else, that their way is the right way, the only way, and I'm going to have it my way, and that's it. But that's rebellion. That's a deceptive heart. There's no fear and trembling and humility in that. In verse 24, it says, "Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter. In his season, he reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest." You see, they have rebelled and rejected God's word, his presence, and his spirit. "Your iniquities," this is in verse 25, "your iniquities have turned away these things." You see, like Esau turned away with contempt God's blessing upon his life. He said, "What need of it do I have it? Do I have for it? I'm hungry. Give me that portage. That's all I want, is that food in my belly. What have I need for an inheritance?" You see, that's the way of the world. That's the way carnal-minded people think. They don't think about God. They don't have foresight and insight and wisdom and understanding. All they think about is how they can fill their belly. All they think about is how they can have more, gain more. You see those signs on these trucks and cars? "He who has the most toys wins." Oh, how pathetic. How stupid. And in verse 26, let me finish 25. "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." These people truly don't know what they're missing, do they? In verse 26, "For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men. These are the ruthless people, walking round about, feigning themselves to be someone they're not. But God will visit their sins." Everything that we've ever done and said, even the things that we've thought, are written in a book of remembrance. Well, they're written in a book, but yet there is another book of remembrance that God has written for those that talk and think upon him, that glorify his name, that ponder about the goodness of God's mercy and grace. It's a wonderful book of remembrance that we can all look forward to, those who are his, when we know that we have given our lives completely over to the lordship of his life in our life. In Jeremiah 5, 27, 29, verse 27, as a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become as great and waxen rich. You see, I remember the time when Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas. He had a thing over there with drugs. He worked with politicians and sheriffs, with police, with medical examiners, with lawyers and judges. They all worked together in collusion, all for the sake of drugs and money and power. But they forsook all those who they had to run over, who they had to destroy and kill, to do and to keep their way. It was over in Mena, Arkansas. And Bill Clinton has blood on his hands from his feet to his head, all the way from his governorship days of Arkansas all the way to the White House. Bill Clinton and his cronies will one day give an answer to all those innocent people they killed who knew about or saw these things happen. And they destroyed anyone who got in the way. All these poor and needy people. All these people who lost their sons and daughters. Who tried to get or try to find a remedy, an answer, who tried to get justice. But because Bill Clinton's friends were all up in the upper echelon of government, working as judges and lawyers and sheriffs, covered everything up. Over and over and over. And yet there were still a few that came out of the woodwork and caused one or two of them to go to prison. But yet God will see all of this. See, America is in deep trouble. God is going to see all those things that are hidden. Nothing goes past him. He knows all things. Even before they happen, he knows them. And in verse 28 it says, they are waxen fat. They shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge? In verse 29 it says, shall not I visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? America is in trouble, friends. America, better wake up, but I think it's too late. But only the fury of God will come upon them unless they wake up now. Unless they wake up and repent, they'll be crushed and trodden under the almighty judgment of God. If we go to Psalm 147:11, it says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. You see, we can have that hope. All those who are online or listening in, or who maybe we don't even know, if you're listening and you're hearing this, you too can have hope if you fear God. Put your trust in him today, not tomorrow. Don't wait. In Jeremiah 5 and 30 and 31, it says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. What does that mean? That means these are people, these are priests, these are pastors, teachers, who rule over people with an iron fist, by their own means and methods, not by God's way, God's word, God's spirit, but by their own way, which leads only to death. And my people love to have it so. And that will ye do, and what will ye do in the end thereof, the word of God says in the King James. What are we going to do in the end? What will you do? When on that day, if you continue in your sin and don't repent and don't fear God, what awaits you? Only judgment. True biblical fear demands trembling. And in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 6 through 7, I've got written here. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. You see, there is no other name under heaven by which man must be saved, only Jesus. And in verse 7 it says, who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and all in their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. There is no greater. And every eye will know it. Every ear will hear the thunder of his coming back. It will be a great noise splitting the skies. And everyone will know it. It won't be no secret rapture. There will be no false doctrines there that will survive. No, it'll all become under immediate judgment. Under the fire of God's eyes as he comes back. The fire of God's eyes piercing even to the cutting away of every deception, of every lie, of every wicked, foul thing that the devil has ever invented. It will all be stripped away. It'll all be cut bare. It will be cut asunder. In Psalm chapter 96, 4 through 5, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. See, when we truly love God, we will truly fear him. In verse 5, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. So let us all declare the handiwork of God. Amen. Let us all declare his works and his wonder and his praise. Because truly that's all that matters today, and it's all that's going to matter on that day. In Daniel chapter 6, 26 and 27, it says in verse 26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Wow. Can you imagine that happening today? Having one of our presidents declare such a thing? To give glory to God, to the one true God? Wow. That would be so wonderful. In verse 27 it says, he delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So King Darius rightly declared and decreed God's glory, that men should tremble and fear before him. And God created all that is beautiful and wondrous. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, it says here, for all those hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to the man who I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Wow, that same word today, it's the same Jesus we fear today as it was then. In Daniel chapter 10, 11 and 12, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly... I wrote this down as a reminder of that, what had happened again. For those who fear God, for those who trust God and earnestly seek God, and how that the angel came unto Daniel. Amen. Praise God. Fear God and live. Few will take heed and fear God. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 and 31, it says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Those are warnings. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, that is ignorance? And the scorners delight in their scorning. These are comedians and scoffers and people of like manner and mind. And fools hate knowledge. They don't fear God. They hate the knowledge of God. They don't want to hear about God's word, his presence. They just want their way, their thing, their doings. They want to do what they want to do always. They don't have time because, hey, the game is on. I got to go to the game. I want to see what the box score says here and on my computer. Or I want to go watch TV, and I've got programs that I've watched. I love it. I just can't seem to help myself. I've got to just watch it, and that's it. Or they go to the movies, or they go do this or do that, or some other thing. It captivates their hearts and minds. They don't know what else to do but to obey the spirit of that lust, the spirit of that disobedience that the devil perpetrates on their lives daily through the mediums of TV, radio, and computer, and all these other things, and people being affected by it all over the world. And people need to wake up because the time is at hand. There's not much time left. And in verse 23, turn you at my reproof. That means repent. Behold, that means look and pay attention at what's going on. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. But you see, these people scoffed at God's mercy. Verse 24, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. See, they made excuses. They could care less. In verse 25, it says, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. You can only scoff and sneer at God so long before one day you no longer have a conscience. One day you could absolutely care less. But that is a sign of your doom. When you no longer care or think about or contemplate or have any fear at all in your heart or your spirit or your life about your future, about the things of God, that is a doomsday sign for your life. Unless, by some way and means, God will somehow reach out to you if there's anything in you still there, that God would reach out and have mercy on your life and bring you out of that wicked, evil land called Babylon, to bring you out of all those surroundings, to separate you so that you could live for God, live for his plans and purposes in your life, that you would glorify him and fear him only. There's no other way. There's no other way. And in Proverbs 1:26 and 31, it says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. You see, their day of reckoning will come. They will face the music of their doings. Verse 27, when your fear cometh as desolation, these people will be naked and desolate of all truth, and they will stand there open and ashamed before God Almighty as he comes back to judge a wicked and a cruel world, a people who are hardened and stiff-necked and rebellious and shameless of their doings, openly mocking and reveling and doing things the whole world over, shaming the gospel of Christ, walking on people's backs, hurting people here, lying about people there, maligning others, destroying, seeking whom they can devour and kill, and even killing the helpless, even killing those who don't have a say, those millions of babies, all those without a voice. One day it'll all come to an end. And your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. That's going to be a sudden destruction. That's going to be suddenly, folks. You've been warned. You've been taught in the Word of God. And yet they have ignored it. And they've said, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. See, that regret is going to hit very hard that day. Can you imagine going and living to that day and finding out that what you have done up to then, up to that point, is all rubbish, fit to be burned and destroyed? And if he comes back, what will we offer him? What will we have to give to Jesus? What hope is there in rebellion? What hope is there when it comes to feeding our minds and our hearts on the garbage of this world? There's no hope in that. There's no help in that. There's no wisdom in that. There's no understanding in that. The only thing that's going to save us truly is what Jesus did on the cross when he died for our sins, and we would come and repent and fear God. Fear God. Fear God and live. In verse 28 it says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. In other words, it'll be too late. In verse 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They rejected the Lord. It'll be too late for many. In verse 30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. They refused God's help. In verse 31, therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. They will be left to themselves, and that's a pretty helpless situation. Wow. I don't want to be left to myself. I don't want to be left to my own whims. There's no hope in that. It's God who gives us mercy and understanding and wisdom to do things every day that we need to do, and how we need to think and act and how we proceed in life and to make the right decisions and choices. But there are those out there today who go in circles like the Israelites in the desert, around and around and around again and again, never learning, always complaining, always murmuring, always dying, not understanding what it means to live, to fear God, not understanding the mercy and grace of God, which leadeth to redemption, to righteousness, to repentance. In Romans chapter 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. These are the homosexuals, abortionists, atheists, backsliders of every kind. Romans chapter 3, 12 and 18 says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. What does the Lord say? They become unprofitable to me. They are fit to be burned and destroyed, throwing them into the pits of hell forever, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Unprofitable servants. They have gone astray. But it says here in verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, no, not one. Verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher. You see, in their throat, their tongues, is only death and deceit. It's ill will towards you and me. It's trying to lie to you and to deceive you about things that aren't true and right and good. It's trying to tell your mind, it's trying to convince you and you and you that it's okay to do this. This is what the snake did in the garden with Eve. And he always deceived with a question, bringing into view his own logic, his worldly carnal logic, onto the scene. It was never spiritual. But that's the devil's ways. That's the world's ways. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asps under their lips, to bite and to devour and to murder with their words. With the intents of their heart, they do these things. What's filled in their hearts, full of rage, full of disgust for anything good, right, they're going to attack. They're going to attack you, and they're going to attack me, and they're going to attack anyone who lives for God. And they might be people that are close to you and that you know them. So be wary of that. Be aware of the devices and the wiles of the devil. In verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. They're sick with envy and hatred for God's people. In verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. They use their time to think about cunning and divisive ways to destroy you and me. The devil, that's the devil's way. And all his cronies and followers do the same. Sooner or later, it all comes out. In Romans 13, 16 to 18, it says in 16, destruction and misery are in their ways. This is who they are. This is what they've become. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's in verse 18. Wow. So the way of peace, my friends, is to fear God. The way to live is to fear God. I won't be able to finish this message today. It'll have to be a part two. I've got a lot more info that I want to share. But we'll probably end up coming back next week if God tarries. If Jesus tarries from coming back, then we'll show up again here. And if I'm allowed to come here again and preach or teach, then I'll be here and I'll resume part two. So why don't we just go ahead and pray and ask Jesus to help us, to lead us, guide us into all truth and wisdom and understanding, knowledge and temperance. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are the one true God, and there is no God like unto thee, O God. And we know that through the deception of the devil and through the fears and the lies and all the deceit that he brings forth through the world and through his own disciples, through his own people, O Lord, we are warned and forewarned to watch, to make ready. O Lord Jesus, we know that you are the one true God, and there is no God like unto thee, whereby a man must be saved, no name under heaven other than Jesus. We know that, Lord, that you died on the cross for our sins, and there is no other way. There is no other resource, no other door. And Lord, we know that we must stick close to you. We know that you sticketh to us as a brother, closer than a brother. You are that kind of friend that we can count on. And we thank you, Lord, for that friendship. We thank you, Lord, for your lordship over our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you can work in our lives, that we would fear thee and repent and come to thy feet, O God, and walk with humility and wisdom and understanding, O Lord, before the men of this world. O Heavenly Father, help us then now to walk with greater wisdom throughout, with understanding and temperance and wisdom and truth and grace and mercy, O God, filling our lives so that we can go out and teach and reach others to do so in like manner. Teaching them, O Lord, to be disciples of Christ and not of the devil. Teaching men the right way, the way of truth. For you, Lord, you said that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto God but by me, which is Jesus. We know you, Lord. We appreciate who you are, and we love you dearly. And we fear thee exceedingly, O God. For that truly is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, is to fear thee. And we praise your holy name. Amen. Praise God.